Another quick announcement before we have our scripture reading, but started something a little different on our Facebook page today. Actually, I put it on mine, but I went through our message and put like a minute excerpt. Is that the right word? Excerpt? Little bitty thing. Just a minute of a nugget, and the last slide that comes up is it says where to find the entirety of the message. YouTube, Facebook page, our website. And so if you see that and you use Facebook, if I did it right, hit share. And that'll go to your site and other people. And so the hope is that a lot of people won't stop and listen to a 35-minute message while they're scrolling, but if that nugget can maybe grab their heart and they can see where to go, maybe later they'll go back. So just trying something a little different. Thought it worked out pretty good. It's got a little music with it, and hopefully we'll get better at it. Before I start yet, this week at the funeral home, we had a funeral for a possum. Possum died, and all the possum family and friends came, and you know, and the possum was there in the casket, and people were standing around the casket, and one possum said, "Yeah, right. Think about it. He was playing possum." Okay, there you go. All right. You actually thought we had a funeral for a possum, didn't you? It's a little bitty casket. It's really cute. No. Oh, come on, that was pretty good, right? He's playing possum. He's not dead. He's really, okay. We're not videotaping that, are we? If we are, I can edit that out of there. I thought that was kind of cute. So, now watch this week, we'll have a possum come in. All right, well, we're in our second message in our study of Galatians. And we're going to read verses 6 through 10, which we'll be in this morning. And so, beginning in verse 6, hear the word of the Lord. "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." So may God bless the reading and the preaching of His Word. Father, open our hearts to this valuable message. As we live in a day where the gospel is being distorted and people are defecting, and teach us by Your Spirit, and may we be faithful to the end. In Christ's name, amen. The one and only gospel. I read some time ago of a story of a lady and her baby back when people traveled with trains. And she took her baby on the train, was meeting some family and friends down the line a ways, and she was really nervous and scared about getting off on the wrong station. And she told that to the conductor, and the conductor said, "Listen, don't worry. When we get to your stop, I will come back there and I'll tell you when to get off. Don't worry at all. I'll come back and help you." Well, she sat down a little bit more assured, but there was a businessman near her who heard the whole conversation, and the businessman said, "Ma'am, the conductors say that all the time, and they always forget. I ride this route all the time. I know what city you're going to. I know all the stops. I will tell you when to get out." And she said, "Oh, thank you, thank you." So they went a little bit of ways, and the train stopped, and the man said, "Ma'am, this is your stop." So she got up with her baby, and she went out to the exit of the train and stood out there, and the train immediately began to go off again. And so they finally got to the destination and were there before the conductor came back to find the lady to tell her, "We're now at your stop." And as he came back there, he said, "Where's the lady with the baby that was standing here?" And the businessman said, "Well, we came to her stop at the last stop, and I told her to get out." He said, "No. We had an emergency on the track. That was not her stop. And what I didn't tell you is that it was a wintry," go ahead and hit that slide there, Victor, "a wintry, snowy day outside." And they went back. It's dangerous to do. They backed up the train, Some men went out and searched for her, and sure enough, her and her baby were dead. The danger of misinformation. That man thought he was doing right. He thought this is beneficial. And wrong information on temporal things can lead to a great tragedy, as that story tells us. But wrong information on eternal things will lead to an eternal tragedy, which is of much greater depths of importance, so much more crucial. You know, there are several areas of liberty in the Christian life that God gives us that we can change. You can change the times of a church service. You can, music, there's a lot of latitude, I think, in music and even in dress. The scriptural mandate for dress is modesty. It doesn't necessarily say men have to wear, doesn't say men have to wear ties and that kind of thing, but there's a lot of liberty we have. But there's no liberty when it comes to the gospel. There's no misinformation that can make it better. And the spirit of this letter that Paul writes is urgency. It is of great urgency in his heart. False teachers were coming in and saying, what Jesus did was not enough. And you have to add this and this and this to complete the work of Jesus. Specifically, for men, it was circumcision, which was a part of the old covenant, which simply was a shadow and a picture of Christ coming, being set apart for him. But they were coming in and they were confusing these believers in this area of Galatia, and they were causing them great tumult. And Paul was absolutely beside himself of what was going on. So let's go through the text here in verse 6 and see how Paul begins this letter. First of all, in verse 6, there was a swift departure. Swift departure. Read verse 6 again. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ. You are turning to a different gospel. Now, normally when Paul begins his letter, he says, I'm Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm writing to you today. He said grace and peace in our first four verses, five we saw last week. But there is no commendation whatsoever, which is normally the case. I'm thankful that you remember the poor. I'm thankful that you are doing this. I'm thankful that you remembered me. He doesn't do any of that. He totally skips it, and he simply starts and says, my eyes are bugging out. That's the New Tim version of I'm astonished. My eyes are bugging out. This is unbelievable. I am shocked. I am stunned. I marvel. I'm astonished. That's what that word means. I can hardly believe this. What can he hardly believe? They are so quickly deserting Christ. And I like how he adds so quickly. It's like, I was just there with you, and you received the truth, and now somebody else comes in, and you're just jumping on the bandwagon. Why was it so important? Because it says in verse 6, they were deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ, and you're turning to a different gospel. Metatithemi is the Greek word for deserting. It's having two things, and one is put in place of the other. There are two things. There's the true gospel of Christ, and here's another gospel of a different kind. You are taking the true, and you're replacing it with what you received from the apostles, us, Paul said, and that what we received from Christ. You're actually being a turncoat is what the word means. You are deserting. I read in 1944, and some of you might remember this name, there was a soldier by the name of Eddie Slovic. And Eddie Slovic got lost and joined a Canadian outfit, and then they returned him a few days later to his unit. They didn't file any charges because it was common for new recruits and new soldiers to get lost out there on patrols and things, so they just let it go. But apparently, well, not apparently, he did, he threatened to desert again. I'll just metatithemy, I'll just go again. And then he sure did. And when he came back, he signed a confession that simply said, if you put me in combat again, I will run away every time. So now he's thrown in the stockade. His trial lasted for 2 hours, and January 31st, 1945, his life was taken by a firing squad. The United States Army or the government. Wow. That's what this word means. I am bugging out in my brain and my eyes that you are so rapidly deserting, metatithemy. You are being a turncoat. You are running away from the gospel. You have signed a piece of paper that says, I will run away every time. And Paul says, this is so urgent. And the Greek tense here is that they are in the process. They hadn't fully gone over the deep end yet. But here's something that we can easily miss if we read this too fast. You are so quickly deserting Him who called you. You're deserting Christ. You're not deserting a church. You're not deserting a position. You're not running away from some kind of human belief. You are running away actually from the person of Christ. That's who you are deserting from, Him. And what did this Him who did, what did He do? He called you in the grace of Christ. God called you. And it's grace. The gospel of divine redemption apart from any work, apart from circumcision, apart from giving money, apart from looking good, apart from helping little old ladies across the street, or whatever good thing you do. I apologize to the little old ladies, all right? It's the gospel of grace. John MacArthur said is this, it is absurd to accept a gracious salvation and then endeavor to maintain righteousness through human efforts, ceremonies, and ritual. Somehow God will accept me if I perform in such a way with some kind of ceremony, some kind of religious thing that I wear, a religious sign that I do, or whatever it might be. Somehow I'm acceptable to this God by adding this and this and this. And if I don't do this and this and this, I must not have His love. We talked about that last week. We all struggle with performance. And God has told us no performance can earn God's love and earn Christ. It's the grace of Christ. And He's absolutely blown away. Any human effort we try to do is simply saying this, Jesus is not enough. God made a mistake. God did not send the perfect Son. He sent an imperfect Lamb. And anytime we think that anything I can do can earn God's favor or earn salvation, I'm basically saying God blew it. And notice what he says here. You are turning, you are metatithemy, you are departing, you are turning to a different gospel. Now this is the Greek word for different, which means different of another kind. The next difference, another of the same kind. You are calling, you are moving to a gospel that is not really the gospel. So Paul's not saying there's a whole bunch of gospels, but in their mind, there were. How can going back to a system of bondage and works be better than the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ? How can that be good news? Now, you know the word gospel simply means good news. How can that be good news? You're having such a swift departure. I heard somebody this week say this, as a doctor that, or it's like a doctor who had a patient. And he said to the patient, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. Oh, well, what's the good news? Well, the good news is you have 24 hours to live. The bad news is I couldn't get a hold of you yesterday. Well, where's the good news in that? There's no good news in that. You're just not in a laughing mood today, are you? You're just, blah, okay. Well, that wasn't as good as my possum, but that was pretty good, right? Well, my point is, get the point at least. The point is, there's no good news in that. Oh, I got some good news. You got 24 hours to live. Well, the bad news is I couldn't get a hold of you. There's no good news there. This is not a gospel. It is not good news to feel like I have to get up every day and perform some kind of a function, wear some kind of a sign on my neck or a ring or anything like that, or do whatever we think pleases God to earn our salvation. That is bondage. Jesus delivered us from that. So he's simply, first of all, saying, I can't believe you're leaving the gospel of grace. Secondly, he talks about these teachers were coming in. A slick deception. Verse 7. Not that there is another one, another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Now, if you want to deceive a person, you don't come up and walk up to them. By the way, I just want you to know that I'm here to lie to you. I'm going to steal all your money from you and your house and your property, and I may even take your dog. I just want you to know when I give you this fake contract I'm giving you, you know, for this land in Hawaii that we're going to invest in, I want you to know it's fake, it's not real. Sign right here. Is that what they do? Oh my, they make it look good. They make it look real. It's slick. So I said to myself, self, what does slick mean? So I looked it up. It's simply smooth and clever speech. It sounds so good, so inviting, so truthful. I mean, God's people have been having to perform all these functions for many thousands of years. How could it now change? Maybe I have to be circumcised like Abraham did and all of those folks. Maybe I have to continue to sacrifice animals. Maybe I have to wear this or wear that. Or maybe if I miss a church service, God will not love me anymore. No, slick deception. And he continues this thought. There's not another one, but some are troubling you. Tarasso is the word. It means to agitate and stir up. Agitate. These people are agitating you. They are stirring you up. It means to shake back and forth. One of my favorite things about buying paint is that little bitty machine they have. Isn't that cool? And they take your gallon can of paint, bucket, whatever it's called, and they lock it in that thing, and they hit a button. They just remember that? I just love it. I could just sit there and I don't know what it is. It's very relaxing. So when I'm uptight, I go to Lowe's, and I just watch them. And it just shakes that paint like crazy and just shakes and shakes. And then when they turn it off, it doesn't just stop. It kind of slowly stops. You know, it's kind of like, could you do that again? That is so soothing. That's what this word means. Paul says, this is not a good thing. They are putting you in the paint machine, and they are mixing you up. They are mixing you up with all kinds of falseness and deception. It's very slick. And I like to think of it in the opposite. Paul didn't see these religious addings. Well, they believe what they're saying and they're sincere, so it's okay. There's a lot of people who are not born from above who are religious that are very sincere. Does sincerity change Jesus? No. Paul didn't say, well, they're really close. They're so close to the gospel, and they use some of the same words we do. These false teachers did not come in and say Jesus didn't die. They did not come in and say Jesus didn't raise from the dead. They did not say don't believe in Jesus. They said everything the true church was saying, but they added other stuff. And Paul's eyes were bugging out. Well, they're so close. You ever built something and you were so close? And then you try to push it in there, and so close doesn't cut it. He didn't say, well, what would be the harm if they added circumcision as a requirement for salvation? What big deal. What would be the harm? You know, as long as they have religion. He didn't say that either. What did he say? He said, they are troubling you. They are agitating you. Now, mixing paint is good. But mixing this is bad. And he saw the main point, the most important point, the vital point is you are distorting what? The gospel of Christ. End of verse 7. That's what you're distorting. You're not distorting something that's like taste in music or dress or hairstyles or anything like that. You are distorting the good news of the one that God sent. The gospel of Christ. Now, to distort, metatrepho, it means to turn, to pervert, to corrupt. And so these people are coming in, and they sound so good, they are agitating you, and they are corrupting you. Corrupt means to destroy the integrity of. Integrity means something that's whole and undivided. Have you ever been using your computer, and you're looking for a file? This little box comes up and says, the file you're looking for is corrupt. It's corrupt. And you can't get it back. Now, there are ways, if you're really smart, to get it back. I just give up. Corrupt. Corrupt means to destroy the integrity. because it's unreliable due to errors and alterations. So somehow in your computer file, an error got in there. And when you try to bring it up, it prevents it from performing as it was designed to perform. Now, I know you're really wanting the technical definition, so I didn't want to disappoint you, so I thought I'd give it to you. Every file on your computer has a particular structure and content. When this information is in the right place and arranged properly, the file will work as normal. However, if the wrong information, oh, ma'am, this is your stop. Oh, thank you. If the wrong information is written into a file, oh, you've got to add this to your salvation. You've got to do this and you've got to do this, or you may not have God's love. If the wrong information is written into a file, or if the right information is written in the wrong place, it will affect the way the data is used and displayed. And that's what they were doing. It was a slick deception. They were adding wrong structure, wrong content. Now, here's another important question. Do you think you could detect a wrong gospel? Do you know the gospel well enough if you could detect that, ooh, that's wrong? Red flag goes up, oh, that's not right. I like what one author said. We worship in a church of many gospels. There is the gospel of material prosperity, which teaches that Jesus is the way to financial gain. Turn on your religious TV, and 9 out of 10 programs, that's what it'll be. But don't forget to send them $5,000 and your prayer requests. Don't forget the prayer requests. There is the gospel of family values, which teaches that Jesus is the way to a happy home. There is the gospel of the self, which teaches that Jesus is the way to personal fulfillment. There is the gospel of religious tradition, which teaches that Jesus is the way to respectability. There is the gospel of morality, which teaches that Jesus is the way to be a good person. What makes these other gospels so dangerous is that the things they offer are all beneficial. Slick. Slick. It was interesting at Easter time, all churches put on these little videos to try to get you to come to their church at Easter. And I listened to them that came across mine. And it was amazing what I heard. And the background was beautiful mountains and beautiful ocean front, you know, the beach and the waves coming in and out and peaceful. And almost 99% of them were, do you want a better life? Are you down in the dumps? Do you want great hope? Well, we at blank blank church are here to give you that hope. Never once did I hear that we are sinners and we do not measure up to the holiness of God, and we want you to come to hear where your hope is in the shed blood of Jesus Christ who gave his life, because that's not popular. Nobody will listen to that. And I can't stand Walmart churches where we're simply just, what can we do to get them in? Now, there's a proper way to try to bring people in, but not this selling stuff. All of these false gospels. But the Bible does have about your family, right? If you turn to Christ, God's word has then there about being a husband and a wife and being children and how to be a worker in your job. Yes, all of those things are there, but that is not the gospel. That is what the gospel produces in you through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I go to a lot of funerals and I hear this all the time. Through the water of baptism, so-and-so became a child of God. And I've started praying for people in these funerals. Lord, somehow help them see the truth. Defeat the falseness. If the waters of baptism save us, then the blood of Christ wasn't enough. The blood of Christ is 86%. And waters of baptism are 14%. Did I get that right? 86 plus 14, yeah. I'm not saying baptism is not important. Baptism is a picture of the death and burial of Jesus Christ. And now we walk in newness of life as he walked in newness of life. And many cultures, if you are baptized, you are dishonored from your family. You're disowned from your family. Many people die. So I'm not discrediting that, but God does not look down. Let me ask you this. Was that thief on the cross baptized? Not a bit. He's cursing Jesus. Then he realized who he was. Remember me. Today you'll be with... Oh, wait a minute. Jesus remembered. I'm sorry. Has anybody got a tank? Anybody out there killing us got a tank of water? We got to get this guy down, dunk him, and then put him back up. I'm sorry, it's going to hurt twice. No, today you'll be with me in paradise. Years ago, I had somebody tell me that they belonged to a church, and this was a church that I think preached pretty much the gospel, and I think saved people can get mixed up in this. And the person told me that they went to church, and every day going into that church, you were on display. You had to wear the exact perfect clothes. Your hair had to be, ladies, had to be just perfect. You even had to walk a certain way. And they told me that the preacher's wife would come up to you and confront you if you didn't have the proper clothes on, or your hair wasn't right, or you weren't talking in the right way, or you weren't actually walking. Now, this isn't a lady coming in a bikini. This is somebody coming in just clothes. And when this person told me that, it just broke her heart, because why? It made her feel, I don't measure up. I'm being pressured. I have to perform to earn God's love. And there are churches like that all over the place. How sad. What is the gospel? The gospel is the fact that there's a holy God who is righteously angry with his creation because of our sin. We are separated from him. We have nothing in ourselves to earn the love of God and the salvation we need from God. And our only hope to erase the wrath of God is the one whom God sent to satisfy his wrath. That's Jesus Christ, his shed blood and his resurrection. And we repent of our sin and place our faith in the Son of God. That's the gospel. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. Jesus, when he first came, his first message was what? Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It wasn't anything, wear this kind of clothes, say this, do this, wear crosses around your neck, do signs of the cross. You have to do all of these things. Just, I want to make it. I don't want to take any chances that I don't make it. You know, I'm not going to miss a church service. I come to church when I have 110-degree temperature. I'm bleeding all over, you know. And please, go to the hospital if that's the case. But there are people that live in this bondage because somebody has duped them, a slick deception. And where is the freedom in that? Where is the love relationship between you and the Savior? Now, I'm not saying that we have a love relationship and then we live like we want. No, the Bible doesn't teach that either. But we live pleasing him because he saved us. We don't live doing things to somehow, boy, I hope I earned his love today. What if I die tomorrow and I messed up? Did I lose it? That's bondage, the Bible says. Anything added corrupts the file. Thirdly, he is not holding back. There's a sure destruction. Verses 8 and 9. Now, this is amazing. If we... the apostles, or even if an angel came down from heaven and they preached to you a different gospel contrary to the one we preached, what gospel did they preach? The one that the apostles got from Jesus and the apostles gave to the church. That's the only gospel that I just shared. Even if an angel comes down, you know, whatever an angel wings sound like, you know, I guess they have to stop fast. I don't know. No matter what an angel says, if an angel and you have a vision of any kind, reminds you of the Mormon faith, the angel came down, this moroni, I call him the moron. I know that's not loving, but, oh, and this angel gave me a different gospel. If an angel comes down and says anything different, a different gospel, let him be accursed. And remember, if an author repeats something, he's really serious. Verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. This religion's not a game with Paul. He knows eternity rides on it. And he's consumed with, and he's passionate about this error. And the very fact is what he's saying is there are no variations to the gospel. You and I can, there's a lot of liberty, as I mentioned before, but not the gospel. I may not, there's some Christian music I can't stand. I'll be honest, I can't. me and rap don't get together. I do like a taco wrap, but I don't like it. But some people like it, and they listen to it, and, you know, I guess they get a blessing from it. We have a lot of different things of liberty we can do. But there is no variations on this. If you're familiar with music, and if you play a long piece, there'll be different variations throughout that piece. And it will change a little bit of the main melody. There's no changing the melody here. Jude verse 3 put it this way, "Beloved, I was eager to write to you about our common salvation. I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." And he says, if anybody preaches a different gospel, has a corrupt file, even an angel. I had a vision, and I was eating my potato soup at supper. All the electricity went out, and all of a sudden, I saw a light in the back come through, and it sat there, and he said, "Be quiet, I've got something for you." That's the kind of thing people say. And all this, it's different than the gospel. Wrong, demon, my imagination, leave me. He says, let them be accursed. The Greek word is anathema, which simply means something pledged to destruction. It's under a divine curse. Do you remember when the Israelites went into Jericho? And you are not to take of anything. Everything's devoted to the Lord. And what did Achan do? He took the accursed thing and he hid it. And he and his family and all of his belongings were burned. Anathema, esto, is the Greek phrase. In fact, in the Greek, it's sort of like Yoda. It's kind of flipped around. It's accursed, let him be. And I won't try to do a Yoda impersonation. But that makes it much more emphatic. If anyone preaches a gospel contrary to the one you received, accursed, let him be. That's how it is in the Greek. Wow, pretty bold. And it's a command in the Greek too. So no matter how religious somebody looks or how religious we look or how beneficial the works we are doing that we may think we can earn God's love and perform, it means nothing to earn God's love. And even if we're not committing evil acts against others and I'm a good religious person and I give to others and I have a lot of charities I give to and I'm kind, it amounts to zero in the account books of heaven. If you corrupt the gospel, Paul said, you are under the divine wrath and curse of God. Now, this is pointed to these teachers, not necessarily to these Christians who are new Christians who are being confused. But it can corrupt. The last thing, and this will be kind of quick because this will bleed into next week's. He had a solid defense. Because they were attacking Paul and said all he wanted was to be have people's approval. So he starts defending himself. For if I'm seeking the approval of man or God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. And what burned in Paul's heart was, I am a servant of Christ. And my defense is this, I am a servant of Christ. If my motives are to gain a following, now if I want to gain a following, am I going to talk about sin? Am I going to put a video on around Easter that says none of us can measure up to God? And it's the blood of Christ and we're all sinners and the Bible says His wrath is on us. No, if I want to gain a crowd, I'm going to push that stuff to the side a little bit because I want you to like me. I want you to come and want to feel good being here. I don't want you to feel bad. Well, the gospel does cause some pain at times. And they say Paul's message was wishy-washy. Because remember, he had Timothy circumcised. Well, there you go. You got to be saved. That's not why he had Timothy circumcised. Timothy was going to the Jewish people. And Paul knew for him to gain an audience with them, he needed to be, in that sense, like them. Yet Titus, who went to the Jewish Christians, he did not have him be circumcised. Because the Jewish Christians were making circumcision a matter of salvation. So those had nothing to do with the main message of the gospel. Paul just was wise in how he approached it. And basically his defense is, I'm just pleasing Jesus. I want to please him, and whatever anybody else thinks about me, that's okay. In fact, in chapter 4 of Galatians, verse 16, he said, "Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth?" Wow. I can't tell you over the years how many people loved me on Sunday, and I never saw them again after that. Loved me on Thursday, but hated me on Friday. I'm sorry, I can't change the gospel. And to accuse Paul of trying to seek men's approval, before we land the plane, listen to this, what he said about himself in 2 Corinthians 11. And he's being a little bit sarcastic here. "Are they servants of Christ? Well, I'm a better one. I am talking like a madman." So now he goes through a list of everything that he did. "I have far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from those things, I have the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches." Yeah, that sounds like a man who's compromising his message to be popular. And folks, that's kind of what the gospel brings many times. That's an unbelievable list. Danger, danger, danger. Well, we started with the story of the lady on the train. On the train, in the middle of the story, in the middle of a winter storm. What was her problem? She listened to misinformation. And that misinformation in that story was very sincere. That man was so sincere. "Hey, I see you're worried. I want to help you. Just listen to me. Listen to me." The guy in the engine up there, the conductor, the one who has been on this route 1,000 times, he'll forget you. You can't trust the conductor. Yet her and her baby died in that storm that night because she was instructed by somebody who thought they had the answer, who thought they knew all the stops on the route, who thought they were perfect and could not make a mistake. You know what that woman should have said when the man said, "Oh man, by the way, this is your stop"? She should have said this: "No, no, I trust the conductor. I'll wait for his instructions. This is his train. This is his route. And he gave me his promise." That's what she should have said. You know, the most important thing in our life is to hold on to the gospel, is it not? Hold on. Hold fast, Titus said. And to pass it on to others. And to reject every distortion, no matter how religious, no matter how sincere, no matter how it makes a person feel warm and fuzzy inside. But we also have to possess a willingness to suffer. Because the general population does not like to hear that they don't measure up to God, that all they deserve is an eternity of damnation like all of us do. There's none righteous, no, not one. And we must be willing to suffer because we hold on to a very narrow message. Why so important? Because of the eternal consequences that are in view. Because when death occurs outside the train in bad weather, that's not really the end. That person keeps going. And everyone is either raised to eternal life or eternal damnation, John chapter 5. But it's all based on the one and only gospel. Father, thank you for Paul's urgency. Thank you for his heartfelt, passionate cry. Don't ever leave the gospel. Be careful of all the distortions and all the lies, because eternity is based on it. Somehow, Lord, deliver us from this bondage of performance, thinking that we have to do this, this, and this to earn your love, when your love was displayed on Calvary's cross, and that is it, period. And we serve and love you because you first loved us, not to earn a thing from you. Lord, deliver people from bondage who have a past and have sins in their past, and they just can't imagine how you could ever love them, and they could never do enough to earn that love. Deliver from them from that, Lord, and help them to realize they don't have to do anything to earn your love. You love them. And thank you for that marvelous grace. And give us opportunity to share that light to others who are in bondage. We pray by faith in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together.